Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Temple. And Chris, let's first take note of the payroll numbers that came out this morning. February payrolls grew by a net 20,000. This is way lower than the estimates of 180,000. Net revisions for the two prior months were up, but just 12,000. Overall, when you're just looking at this payrolls number and the overall additions to jobs, this is one of the weakest numbers we've seen in a long time. What do you have to say?
Well, look, you know, Larry Kudlow, who is the chief Republican shill and cheerleader that now works directly for the White House, as we all know, came out and said that it was a fluky number, was his term. He talked about the government shutdown and things didn't get count right or accounted for correctly, whatever the case may be. And that's, there's some truth to that, I suspect. But nevertheless, it's the latest sign in what I've been saying for quite a while, and that is that the U.S. economy slowly but surely is starting to join much of the rest of the world in a much lower rate of growth at best. We're not in a recession yet, like Europe is slipping into, like parts of Asia are in. But when you look at that, when you look at the horrid numbers out of Europe and the response to that from Mario Draghi this week, when you look at the numbers on the record trade deficit, again, that the U.S. ran with the rest of the world, that was reported recently through the December period, that also shows how weak everybody else is. This is why, going back to what I said way back when the Fed ran up the white flag, that there's a reason why they did that. There's a reason why the Fed made such an abrupt change. One of the most abrupt changes in 105 years that we've been cursed with this privately run central bank. And that is that they have seen behind the scenes things deteriorating faster than even they want to let on.
Yeah, that seems to be the biggest problem that we have, or that central banks have, is that they never were really able to get themselves out of these low interest rate policies, easy money policies, and now they're facing a pretty serious slowdown that seems to really be picking up steam. Just one more comment on this payroll number, though. We did see wage increases. Hourly earnings grew by 0.4% month over month. This was 1/10 more than expected, and higher by 3.4% year over year. So even though job additions were weak, the wage number is starting to show a bit of an uptick.
It is, and that's probably why the bond market didn't rally even more, though the Treasuries had a scorching rally already this week, thanks to Europe. But, you know, that's going to feed further, I think, as we move along, Corey, into the whole stagflation-light type of theme. I don't think we're going to get a rip-roaring rally in wage levels, because we live in a different world than we did when we were all talking about wage push and cost push inflation back in the late 70s and early 1980s. But that's probably a marker as much as anything of the fact that even, you know, notwithstanding this recent disappointing job number, the fact is that competition is very tight for workers right now. There's a shortage of workers. We've seen in the JOLTS report recently 7 million plus job openings on a steady basis in the U.S. So that is going to put upward pressure on wages. Whatever else happens, I don't think it's going to be anything that is going to get the Fed to move, however, because they, given all of the weakness in the rest of the world, given the fact that the stock market has topped out again, I don't care what happens, they're not changing their tune.
Do you think these wage growth numbers could also lead to somewhat higher inflation?
Well, as I said, it will. We'll have a bit more of the stagflation light type of thing. It's going to be more, however, Corey, I believe, in the context of adding to rising costs for various businesses. I don't think you're going to see it play out as much in businesses passing costs on to people. Apple and others have learned recently that's not as easy to do when you have consumers, by and large, who are stretched anew, as they were by real estate a decade or so ago, and just not going to work. So again, the pattern, I believe, is going to be the same as it was back a generation ago when we had the more acute example of stagflation. It's mostly going to crimp the ability of corporations to maintain profits, because they're going to have to eat a lot of these price increases.
All right, let's move over to the central banks. The ECB came out with, again, a pretty dovish statement, even though they are still on hold, but it does seem like they are preparing to get some more money into the system, and it seems very much like any rate hike that they were predicting at the tail end of last year for this year is off the table now. We also had the Bank of Canada earlier in the week not change their rates, but again, took more of a dovish hold or pause. What's your general takeaway? This is just more ammo in the chamber of what you've been saying, that global growth is very weak and only getting weaker.
Yeah, and the time that any of these central banks, and the Fed's the only one who really gave it half an effort to try and normalize policy and take back some of the monetary accommodation post-2008 crisis, that time has come and gone. Now we're going the other direction again. And I've said for a while, what Mario Draghi came out and admitted again this week, that they have been through the back door buying even more paper than what they've let on through their official so-called winding down QE policy. So you've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again, to keep their banking system from imploding, to keep their economies from imploding even further as everybody's slipping into recession, including the anchor of that whole scheme, Germany, they're going to eventually turn euro into a banana republic type of a currency. And, you know, that has implications of keeping the dollar levitated until we got a little bit of a pullback in the dollar today. We were right back at that 97.5 level or so on the U.S. dollar index and threatening to break higher. And that's going to bring renewed pressure on emerging markets and everything else. The euro got some of that drop back, which was extreme yesterday, this morning, following our own weak number. But as I speculated a couple of times in a recent past, this is going to be perhaps the Federal Reserve's next dilemma. What do they do if that U.S. dollar index breaks out and starts causing all kinds of trouble? Do they want to get forced now into having to actually start easing policy? They don't want to do it. If you look at the U.S. economy in isolation, they arguably don't have to do it, but they may get forced into it.
Yeah, pretty scary situation that they are in or could be getting forced into. Let's also talk about some of the market reactions, though, because even with a more dovish statement from the ECB, we didn't see that support the equity markets. We did see the euro get hit, but again, even today, the dollar is moving down because of that weak US data. And we did see a little bit of money go into some of the safer assets, like the precious metals. But what about the fact that a more dovish ECB didn't support equities in Europe or even in the U.S.?
I think, Corey, it's like I said right after the Fed announced that abrupt change in policy, that even though myself and some others, you know, Peter Buchvar, another one, he's a regular guest on here, he said the same thing, that before everybody starts popping the champagne corks, ask yourself why the Fed made such an abrupt change. We had it figured out way back then. I think the markets are now finally starting to catch on that it's not, oh goody, the central banks are getting more dovish. It's, oh my God, the central banks are getting more dovish. How bad are things?
Pretty terrifying in that sense. Hey, one other comment that I just want.
Terrifying, but it's sobering. It tells you, Corey, that the S&P 500 had no business under present circumstances getting back up to that 2800 level. And that's probably the end of the rally, finally, one that went on longer than I thought it would or should have. Likewise, you saw Shanghai stocks rip higher recently over optimism that China's printing money like a drunken sailor and we're going to have some kind of a trade deal of sorts, but that got ahead of itself. So we're going to go slip into this slow, dull ache, as I've talked about, not necessarily a crash unless something comes out of left field. It's not on the table in front of us now. But here again, we're going to restart, I think, and probably already have, the process of recalibrating asset prices and expectations against a backdrop, which is becoming ever more obvious by the day, of a dramatically slowing global economy, where central banks are not going to reinvigorate growth by turning back dovish. All they're likely to do, they hope, is to slow the rot and keep us from another major debacle.
So where does that leave investors then? Is there a sweet spot on how to play this slow, dull ache? It sounds painful and boring.
Well, I turned late last year bullish again sector-wise on gold. I'm about to amp that back up higher even, Corey, following gold's correction, which probably went farther than it should have. But with this week's news, I think that the narrative, you have to like it for gold. Base metals, I'm still worried about because you've got such a slowdown in growth. They may get a pop still to come if there's something of substance that comes out on this trade war front, but I'm not holding my breath. Otherwise, I think that we're, you know, I've been reluctant to advocate going long treasuries again, but I'm getting pulled in that direction. At the very least, I still like, even though, you know, there's been some disappointing earnings here and there, I still think, generally speaking, the higher yield stocks that have got better than average balance sheets and so forth, those are places I've liked to be. I'm about to add another couple of companies in that area. So high yield stocks that don't have major problems and have got better than average balance sheets, precious metals, I think. I mean, look, I'm in the U.S. We've got it less good than everybody else does. If you're in Europe and you're buying gold in euros, you're happier than a pig and you know what. If you're in Australia, you've seen record highs, all-time highs recently on gold in Australia's currency. You're getting near there again, correct me if I'm wrong, in loonies as far as gold is concerned. It's done much better than in the U.S. dollar. So that's a no-brainer when you have all of these central banks in one way or another moving away from helicopters. Now they're going to start using cargo planes one of these days to drop money to try and save us all. So you have to like that. And here again, when you're in this stagflation light environment, provided we don't have a major deflationary implosion, which is why these central banks are all moving to try and short circuit that possibility, there's still going to be liquidity in the market. So you look for individual stories here and there, companies that have pricing power, good legitimate turnaround stories. So I think that there's a place, you know, there's plenty of ideas for investors out there. But certainly not included among those is to be generally bullish on equities overall, because we're not going to have that environment.
All right, we're going to leave it at that. Interesting comments there, Chris, and really just more ammo for what you've been saying for, well, when the Fed switched and even before the Fed made their pretty significant 90-degree turn, which it really seems like it's going to be hard for them to move back into a hawkish stance, especially with all the other central banks further going dovish as well. So interesting situation we're in, and this global slowdown seems to be picking up steam and getting even more attention. Chris, thanks for taking some time today, and have a great weekend.